Welcome to the Hello Hello World podcast with me, Candace Mollard. Hello Hello World is available wherever you stream podcasts. Please be sure to rate, share, and subscribe. Your feedback is greatly appreciated. On today's episode, I am chatting with the lovely Zoe Potter. Zoe is a TikTok influencer, plus size mama, body positive, self-love advocate. This was a complete honor for me to chat with this woman. I've been following her for a while now, and I admire her truly. We talk about self-love, body positivity, being a mom, and I learn a little bit more about Zoe, stuff we didn't know before. This is very exciting, and it's a pleasure for me to have spoken with her and connected with this woman. I know you're going to learn something from this episode, so grab yourself some water, and thanks for listening.
It does. Okay, perfect.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness, I am so honored to have you on my show. It's been something that I've wanted for a while, and I was a little bit chicken to reach out, but I'm glad that I did. Yes.
You did too.
So I'm speaking with Zoe Potter this morning. She is not from Windsor, but you are in fact from, where is it again?
So Kitchener-Waterloo area?
Okay.
Yes.
See, I follow your content. I always have, but I never know. Maybe you never post it, but I was searching through to try and find where you're from. And I'm like, oh, I don't even know. So thanks for being here. I don't have many people from out of my community on my show, but you are so special to me that I had to invite you on. So thanks again. For everyone listening, if you don't know, you better know. This is one of the people I admire the most right now. She's a creator and a body positive plus size mama who just works her shit online on TikTok, and you're doing such a great job and advocating for all of us. It's amazing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you, of course, about your content on TikTok and all of that. But I mean, I'm sure that that's what most people want to talk to you about. So I'll talk to you about that a little bit later. But I really kind of want to get to know you and how you started and stuff, if that's okay. Because I think it's nice to give the opportunity. I like to give people the platform to feel good about and speak about who they are. Before we talk about kind of what brought them to where they are, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, tell me a little bit about like what made you want to be so positive and, you know, as far as your childhood, say, and your upbringing, like what got you to be so body positive?
Well, it definitely took me a while. It didn't happen overnight, that's for sure. I think I started around the fall, winter, Christmas time of last year with my self-love and body positive journey, I guess you would say, after having my son. He is my second child, and I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. And I think that after having him and experiencing a very different pregnancy and having a very different experience in general, just because of COVID and what was happening with the world at the time, I fell into a very deep depression. I suffered from postpartum depression, and I think I just needed a change, and I needed to start. I was always living for the after photo my entire life. I always wanted to have a smaller body. I was constantly dieting and, you know, gaining weight and losing weight. And it was always a roller coaster, and I just never felt happy. And I just decided that it was enough. I needed to make a change. And that change was going to be looking at myself, who I am in the moment, and loving myself for who I am.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And your content shows that. So leading up to that,
I mean, let's talk about, say, high school, for instance. Yeah. You know, were you bullied? Were you just self-conscious yourself? Or were other people making you feel that way?
It was a little bit of everything. I think I struggled with weight and, you know, eating disorders and everything like that pretty much my entire life. Definitely public school to middle school, like that was where I was my heaviest. And that is when I experienced definitely the most bullying as a child. Not only were people bullying me, but I was bullying myself. My family was bullying me. It was a rough time for me, I think, from the ages, you know, puberty. So 10 to 14 was probably the hardest time for me. And then come high school, like ages 15 to 17, 18, I had lost weight. And I definitely wasn't thin. But if I were to consider myself and my body then, I wouldn't consider myself fat at all whatsoever.
Right, right. Looking back.
Yeah, like I could shop at any store. I could, you know, go with my girlfriends to Garage or wherever and buy clothing and do all that during that time.
You sure?
I lost that weight. But that's also when I was most self-conscious as well. And I was still very insecure. I still had stretch marks. I still had cellulite. I still had, you know, I had loose skin. And that's when I was really learning to explore my body and, you know, be in relationships. And that was probably another really difficult point in my time in my life, but for different reasons, you know?
Absolutely.
And still kids are mean. So I still got bullied, even though I wasn't by any means fat, in my opinion, and from my view. So.
Right. And I think that kids, as far as what I've experienced, I have not faced much bullying myself as a plus size woman, but I think that, and I don't want to speak for you, but if a child or even any type of predator senses someone who is lacking maybe self-confidence or whatever it may be, they're gonna target them, you know, and maybe you were just an easy target, unfortunately. Which sucks.
100%. Yeah, I definitely was lacking confidence the majority of my life. So.
Yeah, but I think that stems from, and again, no, not putting words in your mouth or whatnot, but how we were brought up in the surroundings and the demographic of the area that we grew up in, things like that. They all matter.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what are you do? I know I see your beautiful daughter on your Instagram, and I too have almost six-year-old daughter. And as far as like not forcing our body issues, if you will, or our thoughts or the things we say, like, how do you take the steps to show her that, you know, a confidence from now, like growing up, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want your child to be like, kind of like we grew up, you know, in the sense of if you want to eat. And if you want to wear that, you can wear that type of thing. So are you conscious about that?
Very. Okay. I'm still learning. I'm not perfect. you know,
Well, to me, girl, you perfect, okay?
That's so sweet, but I definitely am not. I have my days where I, you know, I check myself and I have to realize that what I'm saying is, you know, bad habits and things like that that come up. But I just really try to focus on, you know, showing by example, making sure that I'm not putting myself down, addressing my body in a negative way in front of her, especially making sure that I don't say things like, oh, I feel so fat today, or oh, I don't like the way my body looks in this outfit, or anything like that. I definitely avoid, and I avoid that in general as well, because I don't think it's fair for us to criticize our body like that on a daily basis.
No.
I think that's the wrong mindset. If you can avoid doing that, I mean, sometimes it's just habit, I know, for many people, and I did it myself for years. So making sure that I talk positive about my body, I don't shy away from using words like fat or you know, those words aren't negative words. So, for instance, the other day, we were, I don't know what we were doing. We were at the bus stop or something. And she's like, she mentioned my butt. And she said, oh my gosh, mom. She says, your butt's so big. And then she pushed it out of the way. And I don't know what I would have done if I would have been in that point in my life where I would be really self-conscious with myself or unhappy with my body. Cause that's, you know, those are words that would normally hurt.
Sure.
But instead I just laughed and I said, isn't it so big? And then I just kind of like booted her with a little bit and she laughed. And she, you know, we just make sure that we're comfortable and confident around her. And also we don't put shame on food. That's another thing as well. So we don't force her to eat all of the food in front of her. We don't force her to eat all of her vegetables. Or, you know, my dad used to say, there's kids starving all over the world, finish your plate. So that's kind of that empty plate satisfaction that we were all brought up with. And I think that's what stemmed a lot of eating disorders and disordered eating for a lot of us. So I make sure that she listens to her body. And I said, if you're hungry, eat. If you're full, don't eat. I think that's important. And I don't put shame on food either. So if she wants a cookie, she can have a cookie, but she also needs to eat, you know, fruits and vegetables as well.
So
just not putting labels on things good and bad and not making her finish her plate if she's not hungry. Making sure that we're building healthy habits, I think, is important.
Yes, it is very important. And I think that I'm guilty of saying some of those things to my children. But I did listen to you on a different podcast a few weeks back. And what you were saying made a lot of sense as far as what you just reiterated there is don't need to finish everything on your plate. And instead, you know, my daughter loves to snack. Well, I'll say things like, of course you're hungry. Well, I don't need to be saying that anymore. I don't. I can think it. But, you know, those are types of things that I want to stop doing. And
it's hard. It is a very hard habit to break. Even my husband, I catch him saying, you're not hungry, you're just bored, to my daughter. And I say, well, we don't know that for sure because we are not her and we don't know what her body is feeling at this time. So I always tell her, I say, if you're hungry, you may have a snack. I said, but, you know, we are going to be having dinner in an hour or two. So I don't want you to ruin your appetite for dinner because I cooked a lovely dinner. So let's have one more snack. You can pick it. And then we're going to wait until supper if that's okay with you. And then usually she's really good about that as well.
Right. And it's because her the option making it seem like it was her choice, right? It's like, okay, if that's okay with you, you know, and she's going to agree with you. Yes. So I learned from you not only on TikTok, but listening to you on Angel's podcast was very, very – it was great to hear that side because I needed to be shut down in that sense. Because it had been something that was on my mind for a while, which is how am I raising them? Like, how are my children going to be when they get older about food? I don't have the healthiest eating habits either. You know, they don't see me eating a whole lot because my appetite is very, very slim. But
yes,
I have a hard time eating. It's just a known fact, you know, but that's not okay. They need to see me eating. They don't need to just see me drinking coffee and water if that is not appropriate.
I'm definitely, I'm bad for that as well. Like when my daughter has breakfast in the morning, I don't eat breakfast. And
I
need to get better at, you know, down and having a meal with her when it's meal time. Yeah, I'm still learning myself. So
yeah, and I think that it's an amazing thing that you have put out this content for us to be able to say, oh, look, there's someone that's relatable. You know, there's a mom that I can relate to, as opposed to, you know, you surface level seeing these people on creating content that is a fantasy world, right? You're legitimately putting out things. I mean, we don't exactly know what goes on in your personal life, but you're putting out things every day that are relatable to people. And that's to me why I think you've been so successful with this.
I just try and keep it as honest as I possibly can to a point. I know that I do have boundaries and there are certain things that I don't feel comfortable with sharing all the time or yep. at all. Mm-hmm. But I just try and keep it honest and real. And I, for the longest time, it took me like at least a month or two of posting my daily what I eat in a day videos to be mm-hmm. comfortable enough to do it, for instance, on a day where I don't get out of my, you know, comfy sure. lounge clothes yep. all day, or like I don't put on makeup or I don't do my hair. Like it took me a while to get comfortable mm-hmm. enough to share that. And I'm glad that I was able to do that, because in reality, I don't wear makeup every day and I don't do my
right. hair. Right.
And I sometimes wear the same hoodie 3 days in a row.
Yes.
And when you do create daily content, there are mm-hmm. people who will be like, yo, you wore that 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not an influencer, rich creator who has tons and tons of
no. you know,
brand deals and clothing deals. And like, I don't have an outfit every day and I don't look fancy every day. So
no, you don't. And that's yeah. why you're so relatable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to me, it's like, I will call someone out like, this don't fucking look like that every day. There's no way, in my opinion. I mean, this is, again, just in my head, I say that I'm not a rude person, but I'm talking to you today with the same sweatshirt I had on yesterday. I did shower though, but exactly. I, you're so relatable, Zoe. I'm so happy that you're putting out this content, and like I said, I will talk more about your TikTok rituals after, but I want to talk a little bit about more about yourself. So what do TikTok, obviously you do, but like you just said, we don't benefit monetarily necessarily from these things in Canada. Is there anything else that you do, say, besides being an awesome mom?
No, I don't have a job.
Okay. Yeah, I do. That's what I mean. Or did you have a job like before kids?
Yeah. So I worked for many years in the car industry. I worked for a car dealership for doing business development and customer service.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I mean, I've always been, you know, a people person. I guess mm-hmm. that's the way to put it. And before yeah. that, I worked retail management for the Body Shop, if you're familiar with that mm-hmm. company. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I managed a couple Body Shop location stores. Yeah. So I've always been customer facing. I've always been a people person in that sense. And then after I left the car dealership, I actually did lash extensions and like aesthetics in that sense.
Okay.
Out of my home. I had mm-hmm. a little home salon for a while there too. And I did that up until 2020 when the pandemic hit. And then I closed up shop legally because I had to.
Sure.
And then I just never reopened for many reasons, comfort-wise, having mm-hmm. people in my home. And also I had my son. So I had my hands full with the kids at home. So I just went on to content creation.
Yeah.
And that's primarily what I do now. And I do make a small income from it, but definitely not in the same way that, for instance, creators in the United States on TikTok, they get like the creator fund income and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I don't get paid per view. Where, I mean, don't, if you ever want to be really sad, tally up your amount that you would make.
Yeah.
It makes you a little bummed out. But
yeah.
You look past it.
Yeah, because you yeah. like to put the content out for us, right?
Yes,
I do. It's therapeutic for everyone.
Mm-hmm. It's not really a job in that sense for me.
Right, and that shows you're passionate. That makes a lot of sense to me that you were in customer service. I, too, was in customer service my whole working career.
Mm-hmm.
Shows how you deal with like the trolls and the nasty comments and stuff. You're pretty good at it because you've dealt with the public, and the public is assholes. They just are.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I can be an asshole because I know what customer service entails, and yeah. we don't get paid enough, and you know you're dealing with people constantly, so it's tough. It's a tough place to be.
It's very tough, and it really changes your mind your mind at, like, just as to how you treat other people, especially like people who are in the service industry or the food industry, or even just like customer service, like when you go to a store in the mall, like I give them as much respect as I would give my own mother. Like I don't believe that you should ever, ever blame them for any situation that they're in. 90% of the time, you know, it couldn't have been controlled. So
that's right.
Benefit of the doubt, because I've been there. I know how horrible it is.
Yeah, you're just doing your job and reiterating what your boss told you to do, and then you get shit on by people. It's not fun. Not necessarily always fun, but
it's not.
No, I'm glad that you're not dealing with that anymore.
Me too.
Holy moly. So before I continue and ask you more about TikTok and that stuff, I'm going to separate our chat with some random questions. Are you okay with that? Okay.
Of course, yeah.
Just so I can get to know you better without being so abrasive. Okay, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Don't be so hard on yourself, and I promise it gets better.
Oh, geez. Okay. That's lovely. if you could only respond to hater comments with two words, what would those two words be?
Fuck off.
I just wanted to get you to swear. That's what I wanted, because it's not often that I see you do that. So yay. Oh, oh God. In your opinion, what is the ugliest vegetable?
Like, ugliest visually?
Yeah.
Probably the question.
Yeah. Good one. Okay. tell me about the last dream that you remember.
Oh, I literally just had a dream. Okay, what was it about? I literally was just thinking about it earlier today.
You should write them down.
We should have written it down, because it was a weird one. Oh, crap. I can't remember.
That happens often.
It does happen. And it was a really good, wacky, out of the box. Like, it made absolutely no sense to me. I can't remember. I wish I could.
It's okay. That's why I have another question, just in case you didn't remember. I, for one, am a huge dreamer, and I write them down. And
do you? I need to start writing them down.
You know what? It's pretty cool, because, I mean, I wouldn't say live by them, but oftentimes I'll look back and I'll go, okay, that was a sign, or that was somebody telling. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've been writing my dreams down since I was about 19. So,
oh my gosh.
Yes. And I have reoccurring dreams, girl. Oof, we could talk for hours. I've honestly thought about doing dream podcasts and talking with people, because my dreams are very repetitive, and they're trying to tell me something. I just can't figure it out.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. Okay, last question. Your favorite cake flavor?
Oh, like traditional vanilla, buttercream, just vanilla. As there can be.
I like, we call it fake icing. So that thick, like Costco icing.
Oh,
give it to me. All of it.
I love it.
Okay, let's focus a little bit on the tickety talkety, because like I said earlier, your content is great. If anyone doesn't know, please go follow Zoe Potter. She mostly every day we get a what I eat in a day as a fat person who is not on a diet. That is just the cutest thing. Tell me why and how you got the courage to do that for us.
I can't even remember. I think I remember. So back earlier this year, like in the spring, winter, I noticed that it was a little bit of a trend going around on TikTok, where it was kind of like a what I eat in a day, but then it would be what I eat in a day, not on a diet, or what I eat in a day, intuitive eating, or what I eat in a day as a fat person. And I think that I wanted to kind of give it a try, just to kind of see what it was like to you know, be honest and record what I ate, because I mean, every day is so different. I'm sure you realize that after seeing a few of my videos.
Yeah.
Some people take it quite literally and be like, you eat that every day. No, I don't. I eat different things every day. And sometimes I enjoy
something. But so what if you did eat that every day? Like, fuck off. Who cares?
People are just, they're very opinionated. But yeah, I think that I just wanted to give it a try. And I remember doing it, and it felt liberating. Like, I just felt good about it. And it made me more focused on what I was eating, which I think was important. And then I started to actually research and do intuitive eating. And I think that that's what helped as well, is it started me learning to listen to my body more and actually understand what it is that my body wants in that moment. Focus on what I'm eating. Don't, you know, try and not do 25 things at once when you're eating, because that's what I'm a sucker for, you know, grabbing a meal and inhaling it, because
me too.
I don't have time. Like, I just feel like I'm constantly, especially when you have kids and like a dog and like other responsibilities, it's very rare that you can sit down and eat a meal and focus on what you're doing.
Yeah, right.
It's impossible. So I think I wanted that challenge as well. And I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm still struggling with disordered eating, and I have days that I, you know, I do go back into bad habits, but I always come back around. And I think that that's what's been helping me, and not only myself, but now I'm learning that there's others that it's helping as well. So
because we see you eating every day, and a lot of us are probably going, holy shit, like, she's taking the time for herself. I mean, I couldn't even, you take a baby blocker and a bad thought blocker. Honest to God, I probably wouldn't even remember to take those. So
honestly, when I forget to do what I eat in a day, or if I choose to not to skip a day or just take a break, I forget my pills 100% because I'm not filming it, which is pretty bad. Like, I need to get better at just remembering that.
Yeah. But it's, and you show things like, you know, you'll eat gushers. Fuck. Yeah. You know, some people would think, oh, I'm not going to put that on there because I'm going to get bad comments that I'm eating this or that. Like, honestly, I know I keep saying it, but it's so refreshing to see that you just, I don't think you're lying about anything that you're eating. I believe you, because it's not just broccoli, or, you know, it's legitimately what you're eating. So thank you.
Food. Yeah, exactly. Like, and the thing is if it wasn't, I think the stigma comes where it's the fact that I am not a thin person, and I think that everyone just kind of has that mindset where if you exist in a larger body, you just need to always be dieting.
Yeah, it's such a stigma. Oh my God.
But like, you need to be thinking about what you're doing with your body at that time. And like, I think that that's important, that it's okay to bring, you know, attention to the fact that if you are fat, you don't have to be dieting. In fact, it's probably better you're not dieting,
right?
Because 90% of diets fail. Yep. So at the end of the day, I think that just making sure that you're healthy in your, you know, mind and your body. And I think that that's what's important at the end of the day.
It is. It's what's important for sure. And also having the right support system around you. Like, your husband seems very supportive. Like, this couldn't work without you having supportive people around you, because it's you're putting yourself out there. You really are, but you're helping others. Let's talk a little bit about your post from yesterday, which made me cry. I don't know.
Oh, no.
It was great, though, because it was just, I don't know. Talk to me a little bit about it, and before I start crying again.
Oh, God. So that's just, I think that I've only just started getting more active on Instagram and stuff. So I'm still learning how to make it beneficial for my journey as well.
Yeah.
I think that one of two things was, the words were, dear body, you were never a problem, because my entire life I've always considered, anything that's not traditionally sized, like, you know, a straight sized body is not considered, a positive body. and that if there was fat or cellulite or stretch marks on your body, that there was problems that you needed to deal with. And I think that I've just been very mean to myself and to my body for so many years that I just needed to give myself, you know,
an apology. Yeah.
And I think that it was important with the image that I used as well. I wanted a very natural, not posed. I did a side profile. You can see my double chin.
Yeah.
You can see my big nose. Like, I just wanted it very raw because I know that that's kind of where people would get nervous, if that makes sense.
Like, yes.
For years, I would only sit on the, you know, right side of the booth because I didn't want people to see my right side profile because I was embarrassed of it. And I thought that I looked fatter from that side. Like, things like that, that you like, who thinks like that? But so many people do.
Yes, they do.
Just it. Yeah. Or like, for instance, I never wanted to sit at the front of the class because I didn't want people to see me. I wanted to be behind everyone because I didn't want them to see my back rolls. I didn't want them to see, you know, the back of my neck.
Oh boy, girl.
Yeah. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I would constantly be doing because my body, and I felt that it was a problem. So I think that it was important to not only use the message, but also the imagery as well.
To kind of remind people
that you existing is not a problem and your body is not a problem.
Right. And that's exactly what I took from that. I didn't really get upset about the words. I was really intrigued by the photo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very raw photo. Like you said, you're beautiful inside out, of course. I mean, that goes without saying, but yeah, I can see that. I can totally see why that would be hard for you if you felt that way growing up and stuff. I mean, I don't know that I've ever really felt that way. Of course, I've been conscious of my body being a little bit bigger. And I do things like look back on photos and go, oh shit. Like, I was worried I had a double chin there. Oh, now it's flapping in the wind when I talk, but that's hard for me to hear that. But on the other hand, I'm happy that you're creating this, talking about this, being open and honest about it. Cause I feel like that is part of your healing. You know, and helping others to hear just you say things like, I was conscious of people sitting behind me or in front of me and stuff like that. It's just so, it's nice to hear you be honest.
Yeah. And that's just, it's just part of what molded me and made me who I am. And I don't ever look back and think to myself, like, what if I had done this? What if I
Because
I know that would just be like lost hope. You know what I mean? Like lost expectations from when I was younger. And maybe my, you know, this would have turned out different or this would have turned out different. Because I, at the end of the day, yes, that was a really shitty time to be, you know, existing in my body. And I think that it's what's helped me make me who I am today. And I'm not ever ashamed of it, and I'm not ever going to be regretful of it.
That's beautiful. It really is, because you can't go backwards. Just, it's all a lesson. We learn from our mistakes, if you will. We learn from the past. It's all an educational lesson, I think. In all honesty, how hard is it to address hater comments? Because you get some pretty shitty people.
Yeah. At first, it was tricky. I didn't know the best way to go about it.
Now you pin them.
I mean, the thing is like, I've attacked them many different ways.
Yeah.
I've blocked and deleted. I've brought attention to their stupidity and their ignorance. I've clapped back, which sometimes, you know, I feel a little bit guilty of doing mean things back, giving them the same energy. And sometimes I address them with a very like grace and, you know, a bigger person, no pun intended. I do a little bit of everything. And honestly, it's just whatever I feel in the moment.
Okay. It seems like that.
Yeah, I've made mistakes. You know, I'm human. I feel like I've said some things that I probably shouldn't have said out of, you know, pure frustration.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I don't mean to be mean in the moment, but I've been mean in the moment, and I've had people delete their entire accounts because of a simple clapback that I did, and it wasn't intentional, but I do think that people need to learn how to, you know, keep their mouth shut if they have nothing nice to say.
Yeah, it just this doesn't make any sense to me, maybe because I'm so naive, but I would never ever write something that some of the things that you get. But then sometimes I wonder if these people create these accounts just to be assholes. It makes them feel better.
So a lot of the time it comes from very anonymous accounts that,
like, user 89997999.
But then the odd time I'll get comments like this from real people who have their full names. I remember I had a comment, I don't know how long it was, maybe a few weeks ago, and it was a mom. And she commented something really hurtful on one of my videos. Mm. And it wasn't necessarily hurtful to me. Like, it didn't even affect me. But the fact that the fact that she attacked not just myself, but, like, so many other people who suffer from a disease that they can't control, it made me really mad. And I addressed it very gracefully because she is a mom, and she had content, and she had her daughter, and she like, it was all there. Like, it was there. She was not even private at all. And I did it very graciously. I did my best to be like, you can't say things like this. But she ended up deleting her entire account because people in the comments were like, you can't do this. Like, you're being a terrible person. And, like, and I think at the end of the day, she learned her lesson, but it came about a very hard way for her.
And it's like, what are you teaching your child?
That's 100% why.
The hell are you teaching your kids? You want?
I did it very graciously. Like, I did it as, you know, gently as I could. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I told her, you can't say stuff like that. And you should probably be talking to, like, a therapist if you're that angry towards people on the internet. I've had a few people delete their accounts, but
good.
But it wasn't without reason.
Right. Well, yeah. And you're not a nasty person. I think that, you know, not saying anything is worse to do. You have to address things like that because people need to know that you can't speak to humans like that because you have a fit, thinner body. You're better than me. No.
Yeah.
No, I'll sit on you.
Yeah.
100%. I so want a hoodie, a sweatshirt from your merch line, but you have such a cool selection and your graphics, it's all really cool. So anyone listening, check that out too. It's all in your, it's not a link tree. You have a different format.
Yes, it's a direct me.
Okay.
Yes, but same idea. It has all the links to everything that you would want or need to know.
Yeah. And what are, I'll make sure that I put all that in the description of this episode so people can just click on it and all your socials. Yes. What are your goals for your YouTube channel or even just for yourself, your blogging?
YouTube is a whole other ball game.
You have a YouTube channel, right? And you just haven't posted lately.
I haven't posted in a very long time. I want to get back into that. I think that I have cold feet. I used to post all the time. That's how I started content creation. And it was 100% like paranormal stuff.
Paranormal?
Paranormal. Yeah. Paranormal ghosts. Yeah. 100%.
Oh, well, I'm really big into that. And I did not go back far enough on your videos to see that girl. That opens a whole other can of worms.
That's how I started. And, like, that's what I wanted to do, is I wanted to do a paranormal YouTube channel. And I still love that. I just found it just wasn't for me at the time in my life, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And now that I've taken such a huge break It's a little nerve-wracking to get back in and do content longer than a minute. I
Ooh.
know that seems so silly, but like the concept of someone watching something for, and I've filmed vlogs. I've done that, and I just haven't. I just feel like this is. I'm like no one's gonna want to watch this. So
That's
like
not true.
I
That is
haven't
not.
uploaded anything.
But think about now you've created this. I mean, I think you've got like over 2 million likes on TikTok or something, and like 100,000 followers close to like that. All those people will come with you to
I mean, in a perfect world, yeah. So
YouTube.
I'm just trying my best. So right now, like, I'm kind of going one little move at a time. So I'm just
Okay.
getting comfortable with Instagram, getting better at, daily content there. And it's
Yep.
not like, I think TikTok, it will always be my number one because I feel like that's where I have my community.
Yes.
But I do want to expand to YouTube eventually, I'm hoping.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
So, can you tell me a little bit about what your relation to paranormal is? Like, are you intuitive? Are you, what is
I
it?
wouldn't say that I'm intuitive. I do think that I have some experiences that are not necessarily common.
Okay.
I have a whole series on my TikTok actually about Kevin the Ghost. I put it
I
under
have
my
no idea about this. I am so
yeah.
in my mouth is just dropped. I don't know how I don't know this.
Yeah, so I mean, we had a little haunting at our house not too long ago, and
Oh.
there's a whole series because it just kept like snowballing. Like
Oh.
everything just kept happening and happening and happening. And that's my most recent like experience with a paranormal encounter, and like it turned into a whole thing, not intentionally. It started with one video and then it turned into a whole series because more information kept coming to me and like things kept happening. Like I would go on live and something would happen and it like I'd catch it. Like there's like stuff on my live where you can hear stuff flying in the background.
No
Like it's
way.
I'm not even joking. Like you
And your
have
I
to
noticed that
trust
your
the
phone
spirit.
glitches. I
Yeah,
wonder if.
that's actually a TikTok glitch. That's actually
Okay.
been common with a lot of TikTok creators lately.
I wondered if it was like, because you know that paranormal ghosts
Yes.
will interfere with your
Yes.
technology. Yeah.
And that has happened though, in one of my Kevin the Ghost videos, but it's not like the glitch that's been happening lately. It was a totally different glitch. I'm trying to think what else. But yeah, it started because I attended college at a very haunted location, and I lived there for 2 years, and I had so many things happen.
Oh my gosh, that
So
is
I have a
so
lot of
exciting.
stories from that, and then my
Oh.
other. Yeah, so that's mostly on my YouTube, but then the Kevin
Okay.
the Ghost is a little more recent, and that's a whole playlist on my TikTok if you want to go through that as well.
I'm going
Yeah.
to have a coffee and look at that later. 100% amazing. Another thing, this is more like personal that I want to know, maybe not everyone else, but how long ago did you pierce your ears yourself?
Oh my God.
The second holes and the third hole, are they still there? Like
No, they're
every
not.
video I'm trying to look, like, does she still have them or what?
Did you
No?
see the video where I pierced
Yeah.
my ears?
Yeah,
Oh
I
Lord, that
did.
was a shit show. So,
Why?
because they got infected. So I don't
Oh.
think that they were infected. More so, I was having a reaction to the metal from the earrings.
Okay.
And I had to take them out, and it was such a bad experience. I would not recommend doing it yourself.
No, okay.
No,
I
100%.
wondered because I only saw that one video for it, and then they're never in your ears again.
So I did do an update video a week later or so, pretty much
Okay.
saying don't do it.
Okay.
And that's there too. And I remember having one of my followers. She was like, "How dare you?" She's like, "You are being so dangerous, advocating for people doing this at home." I'm like, "I'm not advocating for anything. I'm literally just living my life on, a public platform.
Yeah.
If you're offended by it, you can leave. Like, sorry. But if anything, I'm telling you not to do this." But there are so many people who have done it that have had good luck with it.
And yes.
I pierced my own belly button when I was 13 in my mom's basement. Like, like, come on. Like,
I know.
It's not the end of the world.
No, I mean, what I've seen many creators do it on there. I don't know why. I watched your video and then more came up. The algorithms. But I've always wanted to have, like, earring pierced all the way up. And I love your stretched ears. Oh, those are so cool.
Oh, thank you. And I did that myself when I was younger. So, like, I feel like the people are just, they just need to find something.
You know. It was probably just the wrong metal, probably for your ears. I don't think it had anything to do with the piercing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I could chat with you forever and ever and always. Have you ever thought about doing a podcast like your own?
Not really. I mean, I've been a guest on a few now.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, but like, I just don't know. Like, I don't feel like, I don't know. I struggle with the concept that people actually would want to, like, watch me or listen to me, which is so silly because...
It is because you have a huge following.
I do, but I still struggle with that every day.
Do you want to know how many followers I have on TikTok? I've got, like, 10. Oh. So, I don't care. I'm just saying, you know, you would think that it would be something you would now be comfortable with considering you every day.
No, it's still a weird concept for me. And, like... It's amazing, and I'm so grateful for every single person that's there. And, you know, I've built really amazing friendships from TikTok, too, which is so cool, with people around the world, which is amazing.
I call them my internet friends.
Yeah, my buddies, my mutuals.
Yeah.
I love it. And I have so many now, and I'm so grateful. But at the same time, I'm still very, like... Nobody would want to listen to me talk for an hour about something. No one would want to watch a YouTube video for, you know, 30 minutes. Like, what?
Well, I disagree. I disagree. So I think it's awesome. I think you have a really lovely speaking voice, too. So even if you didn't start your own, just go on everybody else's.
Yeah,
because I want to hear.
It's so fun, though. I'm enjoying it. Like, it's been fun catching up and meeting new people and making new friendships from it. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Again, thank you. I'm a typical Canadian. I say thank you and please and sorry, but I really do appreciate this. It was lovely getting to know you better. You're just as sweet as your disposition is great. Just like you put yourself out there for us every day. And I'm so happy to have met you and, well, online met you. And I look forward to